So if you're thinking small, you're going to get small results. So now when we look at it and we set our goals, we just don't go, okay, here's our goal and we're going to attract this many people and do this. No, we make it something that is, here's attainable, here's achievable, and here is something that completely outlandish. But if you hit that goal, oh my goodness, what will the change be in your life if you did that?
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at HumbleZone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com. And how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
Carl Richards has spent more than 25 years behind the microphone, on radio and on stage, entertaining and influencing audiences worldwide. He's a 3X best-selling author, TEDx speaker and MC, podcast host, and the founder and CEO of Carl Speaks and Podcast Solutions Made Simple. Carl helps coaches, consultants, and other subject matter experts become the GOT authority by launching world-class podcasts. He lives with his spouse in Gananoque, Ontario, Canada, where he enjoys camping and boating in the 1,000 Islands. Get ready to be inspired and learn the art of building meaningful relationships through podcasting. So let's dive right in.
Carl, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Junaid, I'm stoked to be here. Thanks for inviting me on.
Absolutely, man. So I love having conversations with other podcasters, with other people that are in the industry because they understand the value of a podcast, the value of the conversation, the value of building that relationship. And that's why we podcast, right? To build those relationships. So I'm so excited that you're here.
Exactly. Yeah, I couldn't have said it any better myself. So I'm excited to, yeah, see where this is going. It's always nice to be in the, I spend so much time in the hosting chair. It's nice to be in the guesting chair, I have to say. So again, thanks for having me on. Yeah.
It's one of the best feelings because you know what? After you're done with the episode, being a guest on the show, you don't have to do anything.
You do. You just don't have to do all of the editing and piecing together. Exactly. Yeah. You do have to do your part. In my opinion, anyways, you have to do your part and promote the show. But
absolutely, right. A lot easier. Granted, a lot easier than running an entire podcast episode.
Yeah, exactly. When you say, when Junaid says, hey, the show's ready, I'm like, yes, now I can promote it. And this is one I didn't have to edit or have my team put together. So it's very cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. So let's take a walk down memory lane, Carl. What got you started into podcasting? What inspired you to be where you are today? I know we all have an origin story. We all have some inspiration over the years that made us make this choice to be in this podcaster seat. So walk us through and share with the audience.
It's a really good question, and I'm glad you asked it. And I wish it was as simple as when you're a kid and you try and count to 100, somebody says, count to 100, and you go, 1, 2, skip a few, 99, 100. That's what you're asking me to do is tell my story, but not tell the whole story from like womb to where I am today. But I have to say that the real turning point for me, I used to stutter when I was a kid. I stuttered horribly. It was crazy. I couldn't get three words without stammering and stuttering. And when I tell that story, when I've spoken on a podcast about it, or when I've spoken on stage, people go, you used to stutter? Really? That was your, no, I'd say that isn't, but it was so terrifying. I remember My family was very religious. We went to church on a Sunday, and I remember, I don't know what I was thinking, but I put up my hand and say, "Hey, I'd love to read from scripture." Anyways, I remember doing that. I was about 12 years old, and I remember I couldn't get through it, and I was stammering, and I felt all these eyes on me, and I didn't realize at the time they were probably sympathetic, going, "Oh, kid, just get through it." All I felt like, I just wanted to run. I just wanted to crawl under a rock. The minister came and put a hand on my shoulder and read the text with me, and that was where I was able to finally get through it. And it was around that time, too, that my parents put me in speech therapy. They realized that, okay, if this kid is brave enough to put up his hand and speak in church, maybe we should get him some help. Absolutely. So they did. So they put me in speech therapy for 2 years, and I learned a lot in speech therapy. The biggest thing I learned was the only person in control of your speaking is you. And I've carried that with me right through as a broadcaster, which was next on my journey after that, a speaker, trainer, coach, and then eventually a podcaster. But the only one in control of your speaking is you, which led to some amazing goals and dreams as I was going through that awkward puberty stage in high school and even getting into college. I realized that I had that much power to control my messaging. I didn't fully know what it meant, but I did realize that, oh my goodness, there's a lot of power in that. Mm-hmm. So after 2 years of speech therapy, I was not cured, but I was able to control and manage my stutter and live with it. I still stutter in the right occasions. Usually it's after one too many beverages, but I've certainly learned that there is power in the words that you say. That was probably the turning point. The other thing, the other turning point was when I got into broadcasting. And that was what started the whole journey into the podcasting space. After 25 years in radio, I can't tell you the whole radio story, but after 25 years in radio, this little thing called a pandemic hit. And keep in mind, after 25 years in your career, this was like a dream to be in this place. But after 25 years, it was time to part ways. It was partly my choice and partly the choice of the company I worked for. It was a crazy time, I know, for a lot of people. But that was where the door started to open when I realized, keep in mind, I'm in broadcasting. I have a part-time business as a speaker trainer at this point. And I've got this opportunity to switch into podcasting because there's no live stages, right? I'm helping people as a speaker trainer getting on live stages. There are no live stages. So then I pivoted. And when I pivoted to podcasting, it was almost a natural transition from broadcaster to podcaster. I already had a podcast, but now it was time to not just have a podcast, but help people position themselves with a podcast and elevate their credibility with that. So the journey started. So go age 12 to 14, overcoming stuttering, gaining that confidence, becoming a broadcaster and learning all the skills with interviewing, speaking on the fly, being able to just crack open a mic and talk. That all was a 25-year journey. So I'm a 25-year overnight success in the podcasting space.
There you go.
Yeah. So that was the catalyst, the journey, the memory lane that got me to where I am today, and some other things along the way that I've learned that I know we'll probably talk about, but that was the magic of it all.
Man, that's so powerful. And as you talked about your stuttering, it actually reminded me of the movie. You probably know which movie
I'm talking about. Speech.
The King's Speech, right?
Yeah.
How he had the stutter and he's like, "No, you can't help me." and like that, his entire journey going through it was really inspiring because here's a man who thinks he can't do things, but then the power was all that he was just overthinking all of it. And
one of the most powerful men on the planet.
Yeah.
Like, it was the King of England.
Yeah.
And the King of England couldn't go and give. Think about this, Junaid. You're the King of England. You're speaking in front of thousands, if not millions of people during, you're giving wartime speeches and you can't speak.
It was hard.
There's a problem.
It was hard. Oh yeah. But
the story, and I watching it, some of the techniques that they go through, and I don't know how many of them actually happened. I'd have to look up the facts versus the Hollywood taking their liberties to create a blockbuster movie, really. But it wouldn't surprise me if that actually did happen, that they did have those jumping up and down and getting the mouth moving and all of those things. It would not surprise me if that actually did happen the way it did.
No, it's really beautiful, like the recollection. And I was like, oh my God, this actor was playing in like the trainer who helped him overcome the speech was somebody who we saw in one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Right.
It's like, oh, that's that character. That's that actor. And how he, like, it was really well done. And
yeah,
it's worth the watch again, because I thought of it, or I was probably flying back from somewhere and I saw that King's Speech was there. I'm like, oh my God, I want to go see this movie again. The emotion, and I'm a big guy behind emotions and whatnot. I loved watching that movie.
Yeah, 100%. A stellar movie. Yeah.
So as we're going through your origin story, your journey, and then what inspired you and motivated you, I think one of the things that I love to see is who in our early lives are responsible for our success, right? And you mentioned that your parents were like, oh my God, this kid is trying hard. I need to put him in. It's almost like you're raising your hands up and you're like, hey, coach, put me in.
Yeah, 100%. I would say my parents were definitely, obviously they had my best interest at heart. I would hope so. They were my parents. But there were other people along the way who inspired me too, especially in the speaking world. Not that they were in the speaking world, but they also stuttered and still managed to, one of them was one of my scout leaders actually, who we ended up, I ended up becoming a junior leader and then a senior leader in the scouting movement. And he stuttered horribly too. But he managed to have a job where he communicated with people on a regular basis. He was a manager. He had staff he had to talk to. His name was Colin. And Colin would stammer and stutter and do the facial contortions and all of those things. But man, oh man, could he ever communicate? And he found a way to manage his speech regardless of how horrible his impediment was, and had a very successful career with what he did. So he was certainly inspirational. I had a mentor in college as well, who was very inspirational to help me navigate that part of the world, because the broadcasting world, and it's gotten even more cutthroat today, but it was a very dog eat dog world then. And it still is. So I can remember when I was still in college and I had found this person to help mentor me, he would literally tear me a new butthole every now and again when I would give him audio, and I'd be like, oh, listen to this audio. It was great. I would, fantastic show that I did. And he would give me feedback on it. And I would have these talking points that would go on and on for, oh, 2, 3, 4 minutes. And he would say, Carl, shut up. Like, so the other piece, the other nugget that I learned from him, which I apply to the other nugget I shared earlier about the audio, you're the one in control of your speaking. Mm-hmm. He said, the audience doesn't know what you don't tell them.
That's right.
So don't tell them everything. It's okay to leave some of the detail out, give them enough detail, but you don't have to give the whole picture. So I think he's probably the person that taught me one of the many versions of the 80-20 rule. He gave me the 80-20 rule before anybody else did. And he would say things like, think of the 80-20 rule. Give them the 80% they need, and that other 20% can come later. So he would say things like, I'll give you a quick example of this. Yeah. He would say things like, here's an 80-20 rule. Madonna's pregnant again. I'll tell you who the father is after this song, probably a Madonna song, right? And then that 20% is, who's the father? We need to know that. But you don't need to give the whole backstory and paint the whole picture, including the texture of the tree. You just have to say, it's this individual and mom and baby and dad are fine.
Yeah.
That's the story. That's it.
That's it.
You can do that in 30 seconds. It doesn't have to take 3 minutes.
No, you're so absolutely right. And in fact, I've been reading this book called Story Worthy. And in this, the author talks about the movie Jurassic Park and how they told a 2-minute story in a 2.5-hour time. Basically, the actor was like, can I ever love these kids? I have no connection. But then there was a turning point in his journey. And that's a tiny little story, while all these dinosaurs are running around, is what the idea was behind the entire movie.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. It's, if you can't say it, especially in the business world today too, our attention spans go in increments of 9 seconds, I think. That's our attention span. Every 9 seconds, we need to refocus, right? So if you can't capture my attention in 9 to 10 to 15 seconds, what makes you think you're going to do it in a full 30 seconds or a minute? Talking more about elevator pitches now and stuff like that. But it's true. It applies. If you can't get that messaging out that quickly, you're going to lose your audience. Yeah. So knowing that is powerful, especially in even in the podcasting space. Janae, you know, there are podcasts that are as short as 2 minutes and some go on for 2 hours or more.
Yes.
I don't think we're going on for 2 hours, but if we did, I'm sure we could fill the time. But man, oh man, sometimes it doesn't take 2 hours. You could do it in 20, 30,
yes,
15, 2 minutes. The shortest podcast I worked on was 2 minutes long.
That's amazing. There was, there's a saying or where this gentleman was like, I didn't have a lot of time, so I wrote to write you a short email or short letter. So I wrote you this long letter instead, because it does take a lot of time to take out those fillers. And when we talk, there's a lot of filler things that we're putting in our language. And so it goes to show that you can deliver your message the more concise way you're going to hold the audience's attention.
Yeah, so true. And so true in the platform that we're on. So
100%. Yeah. All right, Matt, this has been so much fun learning of your journey, your origin story, where you came from, what inspired you, what keeps you motivated, and the many people that enabled you to keep going. That's one of the key things. Like I tell people, find your mentors now. Find people that are going to take you to the place that you are dreaming of. Right? Recently, we've been listening to A Million Dreams, a song from The Greatest Showman. And in there, you have a million dreams, but you need to find who's there in the world that's already made those dreams a reality and go pick their brain or go work with them or show them that thing. So finding the right people in your spaces is so key. So thank you so much for sharing the people that inspired you and enabled you to be where you are today.
My pleasure. Glad to, and thanks for the trip down memory lane. I don't often go down that lane, but when I do, I go, oh yeah, I remember that time.
Yeah, it's really powerful. All right, we're going to take a quick 5-minute break. And when we get back, Carl's got a few hacks to share with us. 3 in total.
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at HumbleZone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com. And how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities.
Hey guys, welcome back to the episode. We've been speaking with Carl Richards. Carl has been an amazing guest, and the conversation has been nonstop, basically full of fire and full of really great tidbits and points, and that you can look in your life and see who is there that's inspiring me, who is there that's keeping me and encouraging me. And I've seen that in my journey as well. But Carl, you have 3 hacks for my superpreneurs. Let's take it away.
Oh yes, I do. And it's funny, I had to think of this because you said 3 and I'm like, wait a minute, I talk about the 5 myths. And I'm like, oh no, this is different. This is different. So I think the first hack I want to share with you and everyone that's tuning into the show is set goals. I know we hear that all the time, you know, set some goals, but it's not about setting goals that I'm not talking about SMART goals. I don't mean that. When you look at your plan, set some goals. And if those goals don't scare you a little bit or excite you, then it's not a big enough goal. So one of the goals that I set for myself, actually I set them last year and I set the same goal this year, except I put a little tweak on them. Yeah. And that's that we were going to launch one client per month. And a client to me is worth a substantial amount of coin. Mm. We're going to launch one client per month for the rest for the year. And even if we don't hit that goal, we're still working towards it. But then I said, wait a minute, what's the stretch goal? I said, what if we could do two? What if we did four clients a month? So I really start to get excited. And the reason why my goals actually scare me now is because I have a coach that I was working with about this time last, early part of 2022. And she said, you know what, for you, I envision an agency, because I run a podcast agency. She says, I envision an agency that's upwards of $3 million.
Okay.
I'm like, $3 million. That's huge to me, but it's not really when you think about it. Think of some of the corporations out there. Think of Amazon. Amazon isn't thinking about $3 million. They're thinking far beyond that. So if you're thinking small, you're going to get small results. So now when we look at it and we set our goals, we just don't go, okay, here's our goal. And we're going to attract this many people and do this. No, we make it something that is, here's attainable, here's achievable. And here is something that completely outlandish. But if you hit that goal, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
What will the change be in your life if you did that? So that's hack number one.
I love it.
Hack number two. You ready?
I'm ready for number two.
Okay. Hack number two. If you want to hit those goals, guess what? You probably need somebody in your corner. We've talked about this a little bit. You need a coach. And I know for entrepreneurs who are new in business, they're going, yeah, but I can't afford it. No, I said that. I said, I can't afford a coach. There's no way I can afford a coach. You need to afford a coach almost before you go and get clients.
Yeah.
And you need a coach that is one that is going to challenge you and stretch you. One that's going to, on a good day, make you feel real good. But when it's time to dig in your heels and get some work done, they're going to, there's a saying in the horse world, ride them hard and put them away wet. You need a coach that's going to really take your goals or your vision and all of that. And they're going to really pump that through you and get you so focused and working that you're going to be exhausted, just like a horse is after a good long ride. You're going to be exhausted, but you will be so satisfied because of what that coach has helped you to do and the vision and the possibilities that they've been able to open up your mind to. Because if we don't get coaches, any successful person in business, doesn't matter who it is, Jeff Bezos, because I mentioned Amazon earlier, Tony Robbins, you name them.
Mm-hmm.
They've all been successful, not because they are just naturally born that way. No, they're successful because they have coaches who are a step above them, right? So that's the second hack, is get a coach that's going to scare those beliefs into you and get the negative thinking out of you.
Man,
The third hack I want to share with people today is you have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I never understood this until I actually went full-time into my business. And that's when, because I had a safety net for a long time, I had a career in broadcasting and I had a part-time business. So I had a plan B. But when my plan B became my plan A, all of a sudden it felt uncomfortable, and it feels uncomfortable almost every single day. But part of the feeling uncomfortable piece is, if it doesn't scare you just a little bit, if you wait until something is in your comfort zone, it's too late.
Yeah.
It's too late. And I know we've heard this before, but I was challenged with this recently when I was bringing in an individual who is now my largest client, my highest revenue building client that I've ever had. And you know what, Junaid, I have had jobs that have paid me a fraction of what this client is bringing into my business.
Yeah.
And gone, oh, this is cool. I'm making some decent money from this. And it's not about the money, but man, in landing this client, there was a lot of uncomfortable steps from being on sales calls with this person, from what's the world going to look like, to waiting to play that dance with them. So all of those things were uncomfortable. I've never spoken to an individual who was this influential and this high net worth. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And in landing that client, man, did it ever feel good. I'm still uncomfortable because now we have to prove ourselves to this person, to this individual. But in being uncomfortable, I just know, and in keeping my eye on the prize, keeping that focus on my big goals and feeling uncomfortable and having a coach help me along the way, man, oh man, the journey is so phenomenal. And when you don't have that comfort zone to make you rest on your laurels, if the world is different.
It is.
It's just
so right. And I love those three hacks. Set some goals so that so they excite you, not just something that you can achieve. You need to get a coach, hire a coach that's going to challenge you to get to those goals. And then comfortable becoming uncomfortable because you're not going to achieve those goals without being uncomfortable, right? I love those. In fact, I'm in the same boat myself. Like I recently went full-time doing home studios for podcast hosts, podcast guests, entrepreneurs, YouTubers, and I am very uncomfortable right now.
That's good.
It's a good thing.
I just want to clap and say I'm happy for you for being so uncomfortable. And it sounds silly to say that, but again, you talk to anyone that's been successful in anything, they'll say, yeah. Even look at athletes. So you think that athletes that play in the Olympics, do you think they're comfortable?
No,
they train for hours and hours. And even when they get to the Olympics, they go, this is scary.
Yeah.
This is really scary. I'm vying for gold. I got to get gold. I have to. My country's cheering me on.
Yeah.
So don't think that those high level achievers or performers, don't think that they've made it. They're doing well. They're comfortable now. Not even close.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Dude, this was so much fun. Let's wrap up the episode with some rapid fire questions that I love to ask my guests.
Cool.
All right.
I'm ready.
Number one. What is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
I wish I was better at sports. I know that sounds, and that's not really a hobby, but in recent years as an adult, I'm adulting now.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew? But as an adult, I've tried to take up golf. I say try.
Uh-huh.
Now, those who are listening today, golf is 80% mental and 20% physical. But you know what? If you can master that 20% physical, the mental game is a little bit easier too.
Oh, wow.
But not playing any sports really, other than a little bit of badminton and tennis, has made it challenging to pick up a golf club. First in my 30s, and then now that I'm in my early 50s and picking up that golf club.
Yeah.
I wish I'd learned earlier on some of the principles of sports and especially golf.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. Having that physical movement in your body definitely helps to have that mental clarity, right?
And by the way, the older you get, the harder it is to move your body like you did when you were 14 or 20 or whatever.
It's so true.
So I've been told I'm very rigid. I'm hoping it's just my golf game.
Tells me every single day, like, loosen your neck. I'm like, it is loose. I'm like, no, let go of it. Like, that's where it's at. Very stiff neck. All right. Next up, what did you want to be when you were a child?
I wanted to be an actor. Mm. I really wanted to be an actor. And honestly, my father couldn't afford acting lessons. It was a crazy time in the 80s, a crazy recession going on then.
Yeah.
And he said, I can't send you to acting school. So my second love was radio. And back then, radio was theater of the mind. A lot of creativity was still in that space. So I got into my second loves, but I really wanted to be an actor. Thankfully, for every actor who makes it, there's about 10,000 saying, would you like fries with that? So it's good that I went the radio route because at least I had a lot of fun with it. And as I said, a 25 year career doing it, but yeah, I wanted to be an actor.
I love it. Number three, what is your favorite movie or TV show?
Oh, I'm a Trekkie through and through.
Nice.
I'm a Star Trek guy, original series, but the reboots with Zachary Quinto and Chris Pine, that whole crew. It's taken me a while to get used to it, but because I'm an original series, William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, DeForest Kelly, and I nerd out that way quite a bit, but I can recite episodes, the Trek universe is a huge passion of mine, and I'll still sit there with the DVDs or the Blu-rays. Mm-hmm. I won't watch it on Netflix or anything like that. I'll watch it on the actual disc because they've got all the extra features.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Right. Nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
What movie would I choose if I got to play a character in it? I would probably have to be a Star Trek movie. I've always wanted to be a Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
As long as I'm not a red shirt. That's the thing. I don't want to be a red shirt. As long as I'm not, I'll be a blue shirt. I'll be a science officer, though I'm not very, very scientific. You're be a blue shirt that does something else in the humanities department. Yeah. But ultimately, I'd love to be the captain of the ship.
Nice.
Yeah.
What was really cool, talking about red shirts, was the movie Galaxy Quest.
Oh, yeah.
It's a classic cult movie. They were thinking of making it into a show. That never really happened. We did get something with Orville, the Orville. I don't know if you seen the Orville?
Yes.
So well
done. Seth MacFarlane is a comedic genius.
Yes, he is.
He really is.
Man, nerding out on movies is my favorite thing to do. So this was fun.
Nice.
Thanks so much. All right. Next up, who is your favorite superhero?
Oh, my goodness. That's another good question. I have two, actually. Batman, because again, I grew up with the campy 1960s.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Adam West is Batman, and holy recipes of metal Batman, that Robin, that was Burt Ward. I grew up with that. But the second, if I had to pick two, I would say Spider-Man, because again, also grew up with that original Spider-Man cartoon, which was just, and it had a lot of, I'm Canadian, and it actually had some ties to Canada. The production of the show. So
oh, really?
Yeah, it did. So I didn't learn that until later, but I just loved Spider-Man too. So those two, so the original campy Batman with Adam West and Burt Ward, and then the original Spider-Man cartoon with the background that never changed. But he was still web slinging, but the background didn't change.
Like, what? How is he doing that? sweet. And the last question that I have is, if you were a board game, what would it be?
Oh, board game. Huh. I would say if I were a board game, it'd be the game of life. Mm. There are so many things that happen in the game of life.
Yeah.
And from marriage to everything else along the way. So I almost said Monopoly, but no, I would say game of life. Just because some days you're spinning the wheel and it's going your way, and other days you're spinning the wheel and you're like, God, it's not my day. So I'd say the game of life. Yeah.
I love it. That's a really... That's a very popular answer, as I must say.
Oh, okay.
Carl, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for sharing your journey, the tidbits, the hacks, the favorite movies, the nostalgia effect that we had in the middle. Where can my superpreneurs find you?
Yeah, they can find me at podcastsolutionsmadesimple.com. I know you're going to put all the links in the show notes anyways, but I'm on LinkedIn as well, Carl Richards. You'll find me on Facebook under that name too. So yeah, I'd love to connect with people and have a conversation, virtual coffee. I'm always up for virtual coffee because like you, Junaid, I like finding out more about people. It's not just about, it's not always a formal business call. Right. Sometimes it's just to find out how we can support one another in this big world that, you know what, it's a better place when we all support one another. So amen. I'd love to have a virtual coffee with anyone that's been listening today.
Awesome. Thank you so much again, Carl. Until the next episode, we'll see you soon.
Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hexandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hexandhobbies.com website.